Tonight we're going to talk about a new mindset. Here we are, the beginning of a new year, and if you're like me or like most people, you know, you've set some goals for yourself, you have some new dreams, you know, you may have decided, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to serve more, I'm going to grow spiritually, I'm going to reach out some more, I'm going to lose weight. Whatever it is, you've already said it. And these are great things to shoot for in 2014. But you and I know how it goes. Where today is January 9th. It's easy to be fired up about the dreams and the goals that you've set in the first week of the month, or even the second week. The question is, when February rolls around, when March rolls around, when April rolls around, are you just as committed and fired up about those things that you wanted to accomplish in 2014? Or do you now go, you know what, this is not going to get done. Let's wait till the next year. I submit to you tonight that none of the goals we set before ourselves will happen if we don't have a new and different mindset. Because in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, that is where the battle starts and that's where the battle is fought. It's in our minds. Are you with me? The battle starts and is won in our minds. Remember that Satan is a spiritual being. He's not physical. And that's why a lot of times the problems we have and we encounter starts usually in the mind. You know, in Proverbs 23 verse 7, the Amplified Bible simply says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." In other words, where your mind goes, the person goes. The way you and I think determines everything. We must learn to train our minds to achieve new things in 2014. You and I, whether we like it or not, we choose our thoughts. Let me repeat that. You choose your thoughts. Your thoughts don't choose you. In other words, when you and I sit down, we're thinking about something. It is something that you bring about. It starts in the mind. Are you with me? And you and I have got to become spiritual women and women that are thinking like God says to think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go ahead and turn there. This is where I want to begin. It's going to be a short sermon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, Paul writes, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" He's quoting Isaiah 40 verse 13. "But we have the mind of Christ." I don't know about you. To me, that is very encouraging. It starts off by talking about how you and I, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And as a result, you know, what we're talking about, it wasn't taught us by human beings. It's the Spirit of God that's living inside of us, that's helping us, even in the way we think. And he quotes Isaiah, where basically talks about how, you know, God did not consult anybody before he created all this stuff. Isaiah 40 verse 13. And then he ends by saying, "But we, you and I, as Christians, we have the mind of Christ." Amen? Amen? Amen. We are spirit-filled beings. We have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And a lot of times as Christians, you know, you'll say, "Yeah, you know, I felt this." That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. I know we don't like to use those words, whether it's because, you know, the people that are Pentecostal have totally butchered the Holy Spirit. Everything is about the Spirit. And I think a lot of times we shy from using those words. But the Holy Spirit is the one directing us and instructing us. You know where he said, you know, when you hear that voice, the voice that's telling you to do right, that's the Holy Spirit. That is the mind of Christ that you and I, the Bible tells us that we now have. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, again, turn there very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, a passage again you should be familiar with in verse 4. Actually, back up to verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Paul says here that the weapons that you and I fight with are not the weapons of this world. He says, on the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us has divine power to demolish strongholds. Where do negative thoughts start from? They start in the mind. And so you've got to ask yourself, I've got to ask myself, is that the Holy Spirit? No, it cannot be. Are you with me? You see, we've got to learn to control our minds. You know, a lot of times when, you know, people say, oh, I'm discouraged about this, or I'm discouraged about that, or I'm kind of down about this, I'm feeling bad about that. What usually happens is, if you notice, a lot of times when those times happen, you're by yourself. Satan loves to isolate you and me. Because it's hard to be thinking that way when you are around other people and in fellowship with them. So usually you're by yourself. And then, you know, it starts with one negative thought. And then from that point, it just goes downwards. It's like one thing leads to another. And before you know it, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed. You know, it's like, man, I don't know, what time is it? Oh, man, it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Boy, it's going to be a long day. And it shouldn't be that way. And when that happens, Satan has you exactly where he wants you. But this passage tells me that, you know what? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. The Bible teaches that you and I to resist the devil and he will flee from you. He is roaming around every day looking for somebody to mess with. What happens is when he shows up at your doorstep and tries to mess with your mind, you need to tell him to get lost and to go find somebody else to deal with. And every time you do that, guess what? He leaves. I don't even remember what it was for me several days ago, where something happened or didn't happen, and I was like, oh man, I can't believe this. And I stopped myself. I said, you know what? I'm not going there. And I remember something that I've said even from the pulpit and one-on-one with people. Now, you know what? Nobody can make you miserable without your permission. And so what did I do? I discipled myself. I said, you know what? I am not going there. I am not going to get down about this. I'm not going to let this upset me. I choose to be happy. Satan, do your worst. And guess what? He took off. And it totally changed my attitude the entire day. Because I said, I'm not going down that road. I refuse. You see, the battle starts and ends in the mind. Amen? You know, again, like I said, negative thoughts start in the mind. Think about it. I'm not blank. You fill in the blank. I will never be filling the blank. The question you and I have to ask ourselves is that what the Bible says about who you are or about that situation? You see, it starts with our thinking. We need to trust God, what God says in his word, as opposed to our feelings. I'm sure you've discovered this by now. Feelings come and go. 1 minute you're up, the next minute, 5 minutes later, you're down. You and I cannot go and live according to our feelings. We got to go and live on a daily basis based on what the Bible says. Based on what God says about that situation and about who you are. Not about how you feel. Are you with me? I mean, what was it? Was it Monday night? They were playing that national championship game, Auburn against Florida State. Okay. I was rooting for the SEC to make it 8 in a row. Okay? Because as far as I'm concerned, this is the best football league in the entire country. You may differ, but that's okay. And so I was rooting for Auburn. And those guys came back. And I thought to myself, man, I'm gonna be down. And I had to discipled myself. I said, you know what? I'm not gonna let this get me down. First of all, this is not my team. I was rooting for Auburn. I was thinking about Christy Robeson the whole time. Rooting for Auburn. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to let this get me down. It's just a game. And, you know, Florida State won. I know Joe Washington is very happy. But you see, the game ended, and that was it. Normally, stuff like that, again, I'm just being open with you, would throw me off for several hours. You know what I mean? I'm going to sleep, man. I can't believe this. But Monday night, I said, I'm not going to do this. Yeah. It's a new year. Amen. I'm not going to allow these guys to ruin the rest of my evening. Joe had just gotten baptized that night. I said, you know what? Praise God, I got a new brother in Christ. Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the point I'm making is you got to control your mind. Yeah. You have control over it. We have control over our circumstances. It doesn't matter what other people may think about you. I think some of us, we're so concerned about how other people view us. Again, why would you want to give that kind of control over to other people? Think about it. You shouldn't. Now, don't get me wrong. If we're in sin, we need to change. I'm not talking about that. But some of us, we're so concerned about how other people view us. And it shouldn't be that way. The only person that you should be concerned about how they feel about you is God. Are you with me? And God believes that you and I are worth dying for. That says something. And that's what should get us excited and going on a daily basis. Not what other people think. So three things very quickly we must do in 2014. With our minds. Number one, what's wrong with this thing? Set your mind. Colossians 3, from verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Excuse me. You see, you got to set your mind. It doesn't happen by accident. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden your mind just gets in place. It doesn't work like that. You have to decide. The Bible says you and I need to set our minds on things above. To always be thinking about eternal things, not all this earthly stuff that's going to, you know, disappear very soon. You have to decide ahead of time. It doesn't just happen. In other words, you got to ask yourself the question, what would God have me do in this situation? How would Jesus handle this situation that I'm in? That's setting your mind. If not, your earthly self, my flesh, will take over. I will say something I may regret later. I may act out in a way that I will regret. Are you with me? But it starts with our mind. You got to set your mind. We got to ask ourselves, what would God have me do? How would Jesus handle this? But you've got to set your mind. You have to do it. And nobody can do it for you. Guess what? If you don't set your mind, Satan will do it for you. You know, have you noticed how you meet some people and they always seem to be happy? Do you realize that's not an accident? If you start talking to them, you realize that, man, they have issues going on in their lives. But they've decided, you know what? Whatever is going on, it's not going to get me down. It's not going to determine my disposition. It's not going to determine the atmosphere in my house. It's a mindset. Amen? It is a mindset. We've got to set our minds. Number two, very quickly, renew your mind. You know the passage I'm going to turn to, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It says in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? He says you and I need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not by the renewing of your behavior. There's a big difference. See, a lot of times, even as adults, we will change the behavior. But the reason why it keeps coming up is because our hearts are not different. You see this in kids. You know, a lot of us that are parents, you know, when you go seek advice about, you know, how to raise kids or whatever, one of the things people will tell you is that, you know what, make sure you're discipling their hearts and not their behavior. Because the kids will change the behavior easily. But if the heart is not different, it's going to come up again. What God, what you and I are trying to do as parents is to get them to change their hearts. And sometimes you're going to have to get on your knees and beg God to give you a different heart. To remove the heart that you've got and for Him to give you a soft heart. Are you with me? So it's not something we do. It is something that God does for us. But through the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us. Amen? Amen? Lasting change starts in the heart. Where we're praying actively, God, give me a different heart. Give me a different spirit. Help me to have a different mindset. Remember, it's an ongoing process. It's not something that you're going to master in 1 week or in 1 month or in 1 year. It's ongoing. But we need to be constantly renewing our minds. Amen? Amen. And finally, number three, I promise you this was going to be short. Prepare your mind. So we talked about set your mind, renew your mind. Now you got to prepare your mind. 1 Peter chapter 1. Prepare your mind. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. You notice in all these verses, he's always talking about things above. As obedient children, verse 14, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Peter tells us to prepare our minds for action. That is where the battle is won and lost. Amen? Amen? That is the first place Satan attacks. And if you and I will have a new mindset this year, I promise you, 2014 will be very different for you. I encourage you to go study these verses out. Cross-reference them. There's so much in here. But the battle starts and is one in the mind. I want to suggest every day when you get up and you've read your Bible, you've prayed, before you set out, sit down, even if it's just for 5 minutes, and have what I call a think time. Have a think time. Every morning. Set your mind. Don't just, I got to get to work. You know, you're rushing to get into traffic. Anyhow, you know. No. Just sit down 5 minutes. Set your mind. I am not going to let this traffic bother me today. As a matter of fact, when I get in it, I'm going to start singing praises to God. I'm going to spend today praying for people as I'm in that traffic. I'm not going to let this bother me. Today I'm going to be a loving person. Today I'm not going to get angry. You got to think that through. Today I'm not going to be timid. Today I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to allow any situation to intimidate me. I'm going to be more understanding. I am going to listen. All it takes is 5 minutes. But set your mind. And then, you know, hit the road. Go about your day. And you watch the difference. It's a small little exercise. But I think it's going to help us. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You know, again, I think when we do that, it helps us to understand that, you know what, okay, whatever it is we encounter during that day, we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? How would he handle this? Think about it. How did Jesus handle criticism? How did he respond to problems? When he was exhausted, how did he handle it? When he was misunderstood, how did he take it? Remember, that's who we're following. When he was rejected, what did he do? When he was joyous, how did he react to people's expectations of him? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. But all our goals this year, all our dreams, none of which will happen. You won't even reach first base, to use the baseball terminology, if you don't change your mind. If we don't have a new mindset. Are you with me? Yeah. It's like anything. You know, I remember, I don't know, towards the end of last year, just saying to myself, you know what, I can't wait for January to get here. I got to get back into the gym. Because the weight I lost, I gained it all back. But I had to set my mind. It doesn't just happen. And it's amazing when you set your mind to do something. All of a sudden, everything you see is about getting fit. And I'm like, oh yeah, there it is again in my face. You know? Christmas is a beautiful time and all that, but, you know, I don't know about you, you know, I tend to eat too much. I mean, there's just food everywhere. And it's not, we're not talking vegetables here. We're talking sweet stuff. You know? And I got a sweet tooth. I don't know which one it is. If not, I would have removed it by now. But that's where I get my weight from. But see, I got to get back into the gym. And to lose that weight. Does that make sense? So whatever it is, it starts in the mind. We got to decide to go after it. I hope and pray that you want to be closer to God this year. Like you've never done before in your Christian life. You got to set your mind and go after it. Then it will happen. Are you with me?
Yes.
And if you fall off the wagon, just get back get right back on it. I mean, one of the things I'm doing this year is I'm going to read through the Bible the entire year. I haven't done it in a few years. And so I think it was a couple of days ago, there's actually a Bible plan that I'm following. And I actually missed it. I said, you know what? I'm not going to get down about this. So I just went back. Thank God it's on the computer. So you just go back and read the day before, you know, in addition to my personal Bible study. Obviously it's taking me somewhere else. And so I just went, I made it up. You know, it's no big deal. And I caught up. Are you with me?
Amen.
Yes. And so, yes, there will be times when we'll fall about things that we've decided. You just get back on the saddle.
Yes.
Don't get down about it. What good is that going to do? Are you with me? That's where Satan wants you to stay, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, he's a liar. When he shows up accusing you, tell him to get lost. He'll go find somebody else to mess with.
Amen.
I promise you. There's 7 billion people on this earth. So there's a lot of people to go mess with. Don't let him mess up your day. Don't allow him to mess up your week. Do not allow him to mess up your month. Do not allow him to mess up your 2014. Brothers and sisters, the battle starts in the mind. Let's decide this year to have a new mindset. And I promise you, everything you wanted to achieve this year, God will do it and then some. I'm not saying you're not going to have challenges. And I know you're not saying I'm not going to have challenges. But God will be with us every step of the way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what I wanted to share tonight very quickly. We'll see each other Sunday. We'll start the treasure principle. Bishop, would you come up and lead us in a word of prayer? And we will dismiss. And if you need your fat cookies, come get them.
Father, we are so grateful that you love us. We are grateful that you give us your word, that you give us people like Richard to share it with us and to remind us of the things that that really make up our lives. Father, I pray that as we think about these things, we will set our minds on things that are above, that we will have the mind of Christ, that we will follow